Our text tonight is Galatians chapter 1, 16b to verse 24. So let us read. Paul writes, "Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me." Paul is defending a statement that he made in Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 to 12, something about the gospel that he preached. The gospel that Paul preached was not from any man or any counsel of men. But he said, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." By the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul is going to trace some of his movements after his conversion to defend this statement in Galatians 11 and 12. To defend that he received his revelation not through men or through a council of men or authorities from Jerusalem, but he received it truly, as he will say, in an oath before God from Jesus Christ. So Paul here in chapter 1 is making a defense for himself. His apostleship, his teachings of the gospel were being challenged. He was accused of being a lesser apostle, or possibly, some believe, not apostle at all. A self-appointed apostle. The accusation was that Paul had maybe received his apostleship from men and not directly from Jesus Christ, most likely from the elders at the church of Antioch. That is where he received his apostleship. Or possibly from Peter or John or some of the other apostles in Jerusalem. But surely he did not receive it directly from Jesus Christ. And therefore, he was seen to be a lesser apostle, and therefore his message could possibly be tainted or not full. And therefore, those who came into the churches in Galatia and the false teachers, they were telling people that Paul's message was not complete, that he was leaving something out in his gospel. And so Paul is defending himself against these accusations. And he is going to trace his steps that he took after his conversion. In verse 16 of Galatians chapter 1, he says, "Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." The New American Standard Bible says, "I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood." Immediately, the word immediately here refers to after the time Paul received that revelation of Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus, when he was removed from his horse by the glory of God and Jesus Christ appeared to him. The main idea behind the word immediately is that there was no delay. There was no delay. Immediately, Paul did not go and consent and consult and to confer with human beings, with flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is a phrase symbolic for human beings. It simply means he did not take counsel from any man or any human being immediately after his conversion. The word consult is a technical Greek word meaning consulting with someone who was recognized as a qualified interpreter. So the force of this word is not simply consult, but consult in order to be given a skill or an authoritative interpretation. Paul did not seek theological instruction from those in Damascus, even though he met with believers there. He met with disciples in Damascus. And he also met with disciples in Jerusalem. But immediately after his encounter, he did not seek after some kind of theological instruction about the message that he received. Why is that? Because he didn't need to. Paul did not need to consult with anyone about the message that he received because he understood exactly what it was. And he was given that message and revealed that message by the messenger himself, Jesus Christ. So he did not need to have a theological instruction or discourse with anyone, any man, about the message he had. And that is why he says, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men, and neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So his gospel is not at all short or lacking. His gospel is full. It came directly from the authoritative source itself, Jesus Christ. That's what he's trying to bring across to those at Galatia. Ananias was a man, and he was sent by the Lord to help Paul. To help Paul get to where he needed to get, because his eyes had apparently been damaged by the glory, the light that was shined upon him. But there's no message, there's no place at all where Ananias did any instruction to Paul theologically or spoke to Paul about the message that he had received. It clearly says, after a certain number of days, after Paul's conversion, in Acts 9:20, immediately, there's that word again, he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So immediately he went and preached. He knew exactly what to preach. He knew the gospel. He knew the message. And there was no delay where he had to go check out his message and make sure that he received something correctly. So, someone to explain the revelation of Jesus Christ and what it's all about. I like what Barnes says about this verse. The main idea is that there is no delay, no consultation, no deferring it, that he might see and consult with his friends or with the friends of Christianity. The object for which he dwells on this is to show that he did not receive his views of the gospel from man. I think that's a good statement by Barnes. Paul had emphasized that he did not receive his message from men at the time of his conversion or some time later. Okay? Very, very important to understand. He didn't receive any kind of instruction at the time of his conversion or sometime later, as we're going to see, because he begins to trace the steps of what took place. Again, I do believe he met other Christians in Damascus after his conversion, but doctrinal discussions and what he was preaching, it was not really, I'm sure they did talk doctrine. They talked more than the weather, obviously. But it wasn't as though Paul received anything from anyone about what he was preaching. If Paul was uncertain about his message, it would have been very simple for Paul to make a trip down to Jerusalem and get it all checked out. But that is not what he says he did. It's very clear that he says in Galatians 1:17, neither I neither went I up to Jerusalem. So Paul didn't go to Jerusalem. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. So Jerusalem, we look at Jerusalem as being the seat of the apostles. This is where the apostles, they were members of the church in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem was looked upon for the church. It was the authoritative seat of the apostles. And Paul makes it very clear that he did not go right away and confirm his revelation of Jesus Christ with the apostles in Jerusalem. And here, notice that Paul refers to the apostles, were apostles indeed, and they were apostles before him. And that means he also considers himself an apostle and equal with them in the way he words this. Who are the apostles he's referring to? He's referring to the 12. Obviously, he's referring to the 12 here. They were the apostles that were before him. So, one writer says he acknowledges that the apostles in Jerusalem had a preeminent claim to their to represent and thus to speak for Christ. This much he concedes to his Galatian critics. But the point he really makes is that he did not consult their authority. That is his point. So where did Paul go after his conversion? Instead of immediately looking for some kind of authoritative ruling upon his message regarding the revelation of Jesus Christ, he went to Arabia. It says, "But I went unto Arabia." Now, Arabia, many have taken this to be Saudi Arabia. That, you know, he went down into Saudi Arabia somewhere. I don't think that, and most scholars do not believe that is what Arabia refers to here. Arabia was south of Damascus. It was not a great distance outside of the city. The area known in that day as Arabia extended all the way to the city border of Damascus. So he didn't have to go really far to be in Arabia. To why he went to Arabia, what the purpose was, why he went there to Arabia, is wholly unknown. We can only begin to speculate, and people do take the freedom to speculate on this. This trip to Arabia is not covered in the book of Acts by Luke, who wrote the book of Acts. Why Luke did not cover this trip to Arabia is all conjecture. Obviously, Luke did not write the book of Acts to pinpoint every move that every apostle made. Okay, that's nuts. If you read the book of Acts, that was not the point of the book of Acts. He's not trying to mark down every move that Paul made and where he went. Some believe that Paul went there to meditate, to Arabia to meditate, to further collect his thoughts. Others believe he went into Arabia to preach to the Gentiles, because that is what the Lord told him was his commission. It is up to you in what you believe Paul did in Arabia. All right, maybe he went there and learned more about tent making. I don't know. You can have fun with that in your own imagination. Some point to Acts 9:23 in Luke's account, and where it says, "Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. The phrase "after many days," some believe that "after many days," they refer to the 3 years. Refers to 3 years that he spent in, some believe he went in and out of Damascus, in Arabia and Damascus. So those many, "after many days," is the 3 years that he refers to in the Galatia, in the book of Galatians, that we'll see here in a minute in verse 18. Again, some speculate that he went to some isolated place outside the city of Damascus for more theological reflection, kind of like what the Lord did after he received his baptism. He went into the wilderness. Others believe, like Mike Moses, after he received his revelation. He received his revelation in the desert, in the Sinai desert. Some even believe that he went to Mount Sinai. Okay, some have taken it that far and said that Paul went like Moses to Mount Sinai to receive more revelation from God. But the reason why he went and actually where he went is all subject to dispute and conjecture. The point that Paul is trying to present is that in Arabia, there was no one whom he could consult about the gospel that he preached. Following this unspecified period in Arabia, this time period that he went there, he returned again to Damascus. That's what the scriptures say in verse 17 at the end of the verse. And returned again to Damascus. So in Arabia and Damascus, where Paul wrote that he had been so far since his conversion, he had no contact with Jerusalem, no contact with the apostles there in Jerusalem. And we know from the book of Acts that Paul had to eventually leave Damascus because he was being heavily persecuted and they basically wanted to kill him. Let's read that portion in verse 23 to 26. After many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. So this goes well. This is finally, after 3 years, this is when he goes to Jerusalem. Galatians 1:18, let's read that. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none. So it was not until 3 years, 3 years after Paul met the Lord on his way to Damascus, that he decided to go to Jerusalem. The question we might ask, would Paul have waited so long if he needed theological instruction from the other apostles? Would he wait so long? The purpose that he says this trip to Jerusalem was basically to see Peter. Paul, by after 3 years, had already developed his theology and understanding of the gospel. But his purpose of going is to see Peter. Paul stayed with Peter only 15 days. 15 days. And we definitely know that they probably talked more than just about the weather or the local sporting events that might have been going on at that time. I'm sure that Paul inquired about the 3 years that Peter spent with Jesus and what Peter saw in the life of Jesus that Paul did not see. I'm sure that there was a lot of discussion that went on doctrinally. But Paul's visit with Peter was not for the purpose of approval. That is not what Paul says. It was not for the purpose for authorization of his message. Now Luke covers some aspects of Paul's time in Jerusalem. This message, by the way, is a little short tonight because there's not a lot. It's just basically the movements of Paul. Luke covers some aspects of Paul's time in Jerusalem. Again, he only stayed 15 days. And in Acts 9:26, when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas, old faithful Barnabas, took him and brought him to the apostles. I believe that is referring to Peter and James. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists. But they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Paul, you got to get out of here, man. You're causing too much trouble here in Jerusalem. And they sent him back to his home port in Cilicia, in Tarsus. There is no suggestion at all that Peter gave Paul any endorsement to his ministry, even from any other apostle that he had met. Peter, James, and John were the pillars in the church at Jerusalem. The word pillars means that they were the chief men among the apostles, Peter, James, and John. Now Paul makes mention that he was only in Jerusalem 15 days, and this would be hardly enough time to be discipled by somebody. 15 days is very short. He mentions 15 days specifically to let people know it wasn't a long period of time that he was there in Jerusalem. And Paul says he did not meet any of the other apostles except for James, the Lord's brother, in verse 19. And this is probably James, the James of Mark 6:3. It says, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James?" So Jesus had a brother, and his brother was James. Now there is other James. There are two apostles also named James. We don't want to get this confused with those two. But Paul makes mention of James as being, and I believe he's referring to the James, the brother of Jesus, in 1 Corinthians 15:17. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. So I think this James here is separate from the apostles, but I think James was considered apostle. Now, there is a dispute on Galatians 1:19 whether Paul was making James separate from the apostles or he was considering him one of the apostles, by the way he wrote. The majority of interpreters believe by the Greek and why it's the way it's worded, he's including James in as an apostle. Because he did see the resurrected Lord in 1 Corinthians 15:7. We know that John's brother was named James, the sons of thunder. And he was executed by Herod in Acts chapter 12. And then there was James, the son of Alphaeus, in Matthew 10, verses 2 and 3. He was an apostle of the Lord, so one of the 12. There have been some talk, again, as to whether Paul is considering James here to be an apostle. But why James, the Lord's brother, is actually mentioned here is unknown. But he wants to make it clear who he met with when he was in Jerusalem. He thinks that's very important in his argument and in his defense. Then in verse 20... And by the way, this James became a leading man in the church. We see that in Acts chapter 15. He became a leading man in the church in Jerusalem. And I do believe this is the same James that wrote the book of James. In Galatians 1:20, Paul swears. He gives an oath that what he's saying that is before God, that God is his witness, that what he's telling these Galatians is not something that he's made up. It's before God. This is the truth. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. And Paul uses this way of persuasion in Romans 9:1, 2 Corinthians 11:31, and also in 1 Timothy 2:7. Paul then covers in a very general way where he went after he left Jerusalem. In Galatians 1:21, afterwards, after he was removed from Jerusalem, afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. Then verse 22, and was unknown by the face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. And then in verse 23, but they had heard only that he which had persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And in verse 24, they glorified God in me. So Antioch, in verse that's actually Paul's church, his main place where he discipled people with Barnabas, is the capital of Syria. Antioch is the capital of Syria. And Tarsus is the home city of Paul, and that is the capital of Cilicia. So these are the areas that, and by the way, Cilicia is a province of Asia Minor. These are the areas where Paul frequented. He did not remain in the area of Judea and Jerusalem, in close proximity to Jerusalem, where he could just go over and make sure that that he's being qualified by those in Jerusalem. He wants to make that clear, that his travel was not to Judea on and off. Okay, he was in the regions of Asia Minor specifically, and also in Cilicia, or Syria, where Antioch was. So Paul's point in mentioning these places again is to show that his ministry has not been commissioned by the apostles that were in Jerusalem, and he kept a distance from them. And Paul makes it clear that he only visited Jerusalem once up to this point, only one time, and he formed no other acquaintances, and he was not known by face, meaning that no one would recognize him if he were to come into their churches. But they had heard about him. They had heard about this man who at one time persecuted the churches, but now has been dramatically converted. And his testimony spread throughout all the churches. In verse 23, it says they heard of him. And what was their response? Their response was that they gave God the praise. And that is the response of a good testimony, that people will praise God because of you. And they praise God because of Paul. So this is our text tonight. Very short. And we will continue on in our messages in Galatians.